It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to begin with the Beatitudes there. Oh, it's a wonderful study. I hope that you enjoy it, and so pleased that you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading there shortly. But first of all, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one is just fine. I'm glad that you were able to join us today, and I'm glad that we are able to enjoy the radio ministry and sharing the gospel and having wonderful study of the Word of God. So beginning now to read with Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine unto men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What wonderful words to proclaim. We're going to enjoy, take our time and enjoy these verses of Scripture. So let's begin with prayer before we start. Father, I just ask you that you would guide and lead us, just take us step by step through your word and help us to understand these simple principles, the character that you desire to that every believer would possess. And so I just ask that you would lead us through this precious study. I know the desire of your heart is that all would be born again, all would be saved. I just ask, Father, that today you'll take your spirit and he will go and just place such a burden upon those that are listening that they'll recognize, they'll realize that they're lost, that they're sinners, and that they need a Savior, and that you're the only Savior, Lord Jesus. Please, just guide and lead us now through your precious word, step by step, word by word. Precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit, because that's how we learn your precious word. Father, thank you. Just guide and lead now and study. It just touch every single heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. we find that as our Lord kind of places himself here, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, what a lesson, what an opportunity to learn from the Master, learn from the King of Kings. And you know, my friend, we got that same opportunity. We have that wonderful same opportunity to learn from the King of Kings, from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, as we had in the opening prayer. You need to be born again. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died, he shed his blood, and he did it for one reason, and that is to save you and save me and save all of mankind. But he did not just put an open blanket of salvation out that everyone was instantly saved. He saved, he paid the debt. Now, you have to come and accept that gift of salvation, because there is a commitment. There's a commitment that we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We need to trust in him. We need to understand, dear Father, that when we pray to God, we need to understand that our Father brought to us salvation. But if we do not come and do not accept his gift, this free gift of salvation, it's of no value to him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. And today, if the Spirit of God is burdening your heart and you wonder what's going on, just ask him to show you who you are and what to do about it. He will save you and he will set you free. So I ask that you come by faith to him and say, yes, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart and save me. And you will be saved for eternity. So I ask you that you would do that, because as they came and sat before him, they had the opportunity of learning these things. These are not principles or characters of the lost. These are principles of the saved. Born again. So we need to understand that. So if you have rejected the Lord Jesus and chose for whatever reason not to come by faith to him, this is of no value to you. Oh, you could live this way and have people appreciate you, but when it comes to salvation and comes to something that is true and real, these are things that are presented to us from God. They are not something that is man-made, because being poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit. Humble. To be humble. We need to understand humility. We need to understand that our God calls us, and we are to receive the salvation he gives us. And then the growing begins. And one thing that has to go immediately, and that's pride. The opposite of pride is humility. And so pride has to leave. Now, there's nothing wrong with having being proud of your work, being proud of your family, being proud of your church, but be careful with that pride to see that it does not surpass the means and the things that God wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. Humble. Opposite, totally opposite of the world. The world does not desire that anyone be humble. We are so much a prideful people. We desire to brag about ourselves and brag about our accomplishments. And it is very difficult, and it is not natural in any way, for us not to brag about what we have accomplished or who we are or where we've been, all these things, for us to listen quietly so that we can help and just not boast our opinion and not talk about our accomplishments, but listen to others as they are speaking, that we may bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or we may bring them to grow in the Lord Jesus, to know the Lord Jesus and walk with Him. All these things are wonderful, but it is not natural to be poor in spirit, and it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a gift. What an opportunity. Because when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, then all that the Lord has, all that God the Father has, is all given to us. Now, the only way that we can have this humility is surrendering to the Holy Spirit. The day that we trust in Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our heart. When that takes place, then the Holy Spirit begins to work. Now, that work that He is doing is a work to make us like Jesus. That's his purpose, to make us like Jesus. Well, we are very much the opposite. And so the Spirit of God has much work to do to bring us to a place where we are poor in spirit. And the next is, blessed are they that mourn, and we'll talk about that. But these things are all opposites of the world. And so when we are born again, and we've trusted in Jesus, and we begin to grow, and we begin to bring on the character, bring on the way that our Lord and Savior would have us to be, that the God and Father would have us to be, and that comes through a work. And what takes place is the old self, the old flesh, begins to kind of move aside only when we request it. You see, the Spirit of God is right there. He comes in, lives within our heart. But we still have the old flesh. So it depends on who you give the direction to or authority to. If you give the direction or authority to the devil, then he is going to continue with the flesh and continue to make us prideful and arrogant and airy and things like that. If we would choose to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't just sit at home and do that. God tells us not to forsake the assembling. So I'm going to ask you that you find, after you're saved, and you've heard the gospel many times, call upon Him right now and be born again, and then find a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that realizes and recognizes that you're saved by grace and grace alone. Baptism has nothing to do with it. Baptism is something that you do after salvation, not before. Salvation is free. It's a gift. It is not something we have to earn or work for, and that's the reason that people think they have to be at a certain church or they need to be baptized or those things, and that's not true at all. And so please, that you just every day just surrender as a believer. Now, you got to be born again. Spend time in His Word. Be in church. We have Sunday school on Sunday morning. Church service begins at 10:35, Sunday school at 9:30. Then we're back again on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And we have a wonderful ladies' Bible study at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. And we come back again at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, have another study. So you see, the Sunday school class is a Bible study, verse by verse. Sunday night is, Wednesday night is, Tuesday afternoon is, and then the preaching, singing those beautiful old hymns, you know, How Great Thou Art, Victory in Jesus, all those good, beautiful hymns. Everybody's left those. They've went to choruses and all those things, and those things kind of get you up emotionally, but there's no foundation to them. So I ask that you would return and come back to the Lord, accept him as your Savior, and then let him do the work. And that work is going to be wonderful because he's going to begin then first getting rid of the pride. That pride's got to go first. If pride stays, it's a losing battle. Pride has to be dealt with. It has to be taken care of. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit, those that that hold with humility, humble. Listen to the Spirit as he speaks to you. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the preacher when he preaches. Just listen. Listen to others. Most people are very prideful, and they'd rather tell you all the things that they know, all the things that they've done. They brag about all these things, and it is not the will of God that we do that. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first step in our life, we need to get rid of pride, and that comes by surrendering to the Holy Spirit, surrendering to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let him have his perfect will in your life, and you'll realize that pride begins to go away, and you begin to have a caring, a humble heart, one that listens and one that wants to help. Next in verse 4 is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. There's a great joy in trusting in the Lord Jesus. He begins, as the work of the Holy Spirit, as we've just talked about, begins with the fruit of the Spirit. Begins to build upon that. We are to put the armor of God on, that wonderful armor, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, have the shield of faith, have the sword which is the Word of God. Put the armor on. That helmet of salvation is so important, knowing that he is keeping you. And everything else is built beyond that and past that. So we need to put the armor of God on. That comes from studying the Word of God. But what takes place then is the joy that comes. And the fruit that should come from the life and the mouth of every believer is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's who we should be. So we look at this and we find, blessed are the poor in spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's all built upon the love of Christ that he gives us the day we get saved. But we need to surrender. We need to listen. And so, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The great joy, smile on your face, joy in your heart. Wonderful. Well, how can we be ones that mourn? Blessed are they that mourn. Well, I'm sure if you're saved, I'm sure that you have family members, whether it's, you know, parents or grandparents or children or grandchildren or friends, aunts and uncles. You've got someone, probably many, I know I do, that are not born again. And that breaks my heart. I mourn for them. I ask the Lord to save their soul. I ask the Spirit that he will go and convict their heart and they'll respond. Not only will they be convicted of their sin and who they are, but they'll also recognize and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's what needs to take place. But the more they reject, the more the mourning comes. Now, that doesn't take I'm not around weeping and crying all the time and brokenhearted, because I've got joy in my heart because Jesus saved me. And I know that those that decide not to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, that that's their decision. And there's nothing I can do about it, and there's literally nothing the Spirit of God can do about it, or God himself, because Jesus Christ has done it all. He has paid the price. He's paid the debt. He's paid it all. So we need to come by faith to him, be born again. We need to do that. He's taking care of it. But when a person rejects the only opportunity that's there, turns away, rejects it, when that's done, then it's their decision, and I can go on rejoicing. But it still burdens my heart. I still mourn. It's not constant. But when I see someone that maybe they've decided to go to a liberal church instead of staying with a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church, they go to one that the word isn't preached anymore and the beautiful hymns aren't sung anymore, and they seem so comfortable there, it just breaks my heart. Because they should, if they're born again, should know better. But many have never been fed. So you see, to be poor in spirit is to learn and to listen and to mourn for those that are lost, to mourn for those that have heard the gospel and have refused it, or mourn for those that we have never gotten to yet. We haven't had the opportunity to tell them about the gospel, and we pray that someone has. Someone has talked to them. Someone has shared with them the Word of God, and that they will be saved. They'll be born again. What an opportunity it is. And the joy that we have, and that is that God promises that if we have a heart for the lost, we desire that they be saved. We look at someone, and if they're just evil as can be, we're not looking at their sin, but we're looking at their broken heart because they've refused Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what I'm mourning over. I'm not mourning over that they've done this, this, and this, because, that makes them, I bet they can never be saved. There is not one single sin that the Lord Jesus Christ did not take care of on the cross, except one: unbelief. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only unforgivable sin. There's nothing else that will lock you out except unbelief. And so I plead with you, and I do mourn. But because of that heart and that concern that I have for folks to be saved so that they'll be born again, God comforts me. First, he promised me the kingdom of heaven. And next, in verse 4, he said, I'll comfort you. Because if you've got the right heart, you're going to be brokenhearted. But I will comfort you. And that comfort allows then joy to come into my heart, to enjoy it, to walk each and every day. It is such a joy to live and to walk and to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to realize that when we stand for the Lord Jesus and we walk with him, those are growing times. And the only way that to be poor in spirit and to mourn for they shall be comforted, the only way we can receive those blessings is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with him each and every day. Blessed are the meek. You think of the poor in spirit, being humility, and having a desire that folks will come by faith of the Lord Jesus, and we just pray for them that they would repent, that they'll turn to the Lord Jesus. And then we come and we find this word to be meek. Meek does not mean that someone will step all over you. Meek is to enjoy every day the presence of the Lord Jesus, understanding what He has given us, to recognize the comfort that we have, but when we look to the meekness that is there, it is such a joy to understand all these things that the Lord gives us, hands to us. It's just such a joy each and every day. And when we look at these precious words and enjoy them, we need to understand sometimes what they mean and what they stand for, because sometimes we just hear these words and we don't give a thought to what they may mean or stand for. And so it's so important each and every day that we walk with the Lord Jesus, that we enjoy Him. And we have many promises that come to those that are meek. And when we look at the word to have the meekness is should be sought after, we have the opportunity each time that we listen. And again, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. And so it's listed with the fruit of the Spirit. We need to understand that we need to enjoy the learning in 2 Timothy 2:25 in meekness and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We have the wonderful opportunity of hearing, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. What wonderful words to read. God tells us that it's precious to Him, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Zephaniah tells us, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Meekness, Luke 6:29, and upon him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. In him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. We look at meekness, and we find it to be very, very familiar. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the best example. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened not his mouth. Meek. Now we know the Lord Jesus went into the next to the temple there and cleaned the house out because of all the evil that was going on there with the purchase of the sacrifices and all those things. But there's a time that we should keep our mouth shut. Listen. Listen. And we're going to spend a little bit more time with that word meek next time we come together. So we have covered the poor in spirit. We've covered those that mourn. We have spent some time now with those that are meek. my dear friend, the question comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?